Good morning. Whatever brings you here today, whether it is your custom to come, whether you are here because of a crisis going on in your life, or you're just here curious, checking us out, you are welcome. Please know that you will find God's presence here and people who love God and are trying to do good things in the world. May you find peace today in this service. We wear these stoles, and they are open for anyone to grab to signify that we are an open congregation of all kinds of diversity. We're all part of the big puzzle that is God's wonderful universe. So this symbolizes our openness to people of all persuasions. If you are new to us, in the packet that you got handed, there is a visitor slip, and we would really appreciate your filling that out. Give us an email or a phone number. We'd like to thank you for coming. And if you're a regular, we still want to know that you're here, because if you don't fill those out, somebody's going to give you a nagging phone call and say, "Where were you?" So we want to make sure we are a community that does what we say, and that is that we care for one another. Also on that slip, you could list a prayer request that you have today. If you want to be anonymous, you can just tear it off and have half prayer slip and half visitor slip. The prayer part, that the ushers will collect in a little bit, and the visitor information, contact information part, that gets dropped in the offering. And on the back of it is a QR code. So if you're high tech and you know what QR codes are, it will give you an automatic link to a full printout of the bulletin and all the text. I know sometimes I really love the liturgy and I want to have a copy of it. But all of the bulletin information will be on the screen. Let me tell you about a couple of exciting upcoming events. Does anybody know why we have the extra balloons up there? What do you think? We are having a big celebration today. Our choir director, Martha Sutter, is going to hang up her baton after 25 years, and that's bittersweet, but we've got to celebrate her. So that's right afterwards, right below where we are in the Pettengill Center, and please come join us for some refreshments and some celebration. And next week, there's going to be a potluck. That means bring whatever you have and whatever's there. We all eat whatever out of whatever pot and hope we're lucky, right? A congregational meeting and a potluck at 11:30 next week. And our service is now going to be at 10:30 for the near future. But I got to tell you, I left three people and a big stack of dishes down there about 5 minutes ago. So those of you who wanted the 10:30 service instead of the 11, we need you to come at 10 and help us clean up from the breakfast so that those people can come to worship too, because I felt badly about leaving them and I don't see them up here yet. So the trade-off for having the early service is we need some more hands for cleanup. So just come at 10 and we can get it all done. There are restrooms out this way, childcare also out this way, ushers in the back if you need anything else. We hope you are comfortable. And now let us continue with our worship.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So welcome. I'm so glad to see you, and I'm honored to say I am the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. Welcome. Today is a special day in the life of the church. Martha Sutter has been a part of our music program for 35 years, 10 years as a soloist and section leader, and 25 years as the director of our senior choir, a role that she has decided to end. She wants everyone to understand that she is not leaving the church. She is a longtime member who plans to continue to be a part of the life of our church. We dedicate our worship today to honor her service, and we will continue the celebration after the service with the reception in Pettengill Center, which is directly below the sanctuary. You can reach it by going out the front stairs or the back stairs or down the elevator to B for basement. Our worship series theme is Stained Glass. I love to tell the story. We are surrounded in this space by stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. Each of the 8 sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. And the window behind the organ displays the ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. And this week we have done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we're on week 6, which is the second window from the front over on this side. As we reflect each week on one set of windows, we are beginning to get an idea of what would Jesus do, or WWJD. Jesus often spoke in parables, stories that try to illustrate a deeper truth. Frequently, he began parables with the statement, "The kingdom," or as we've been saying, "kingdom of God is like this." Jesus wanted his listeners to know what the reign of God will look like, not as a theoretical concept, but displayed out in ordinary people in ordinary lives, like his listeners and like you and I. The left window today shows the unconditional love of a father to his prodigal son who returns after wasting his inheritance through questionable choices. The right window honors the Good Samaritan who crossed religious and cultural barriers to demonstrate what it means to be a neighbor to one in need. And in the center window, Jesus uses his blessing of children to explain how simple it is for each of us to accept the love of God. The Jesus story played out on the windows that surround us is a simple one. Love God and love your neighbor. When we do this, the kingdom of God is surely at hand. So please remain seated and let's sing the second verse of "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus."
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to University United Methodist Church. I see some faces of old friends and new friends, and thank you for being here. My name is Beth Drew. I'm a member of the congregation, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. Please stand if you feel so inclined and join me in the call to worship by David Weiss. The world, as it is an affront to the longing of God for justice. We ourselves only in community. Day by day, we bring the wisdom of God to bear on the chaos of the world. And day by day, we return to taste the joy that is both first and final. Because the kingdom, which is not yet, already is for sure. Amen. We have chosen hymns today that inside sources have suggested maybe some of Martha's favorites. So, during this hymn, during every hymn, let's think about the wonderful music that is a part of this community, and I ask you to remain standing as we sing "Morning Has Broken," number 145 in the Pew Hymnal and displayed on the screens.
Thank you.
Let us now greet one another, old friends, new friends, returning friends, visiting friends, with a good morning, with a peace be with you. And I invite you now, all of us together, to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors and friends.
Good morning again. Would the children come join me if they'd be so inclined, and also the young at heart? And as they come forward, let us sing them in with a song. Be seated. Hello, everyone. How are you today? All right, so our window, I don't know if you can see it, the pole might be in the way. Hello. But over here on the window, you want to scoot over to see it? In the middle is Jesus with the children, and Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." He said, "The kingdom of God is like the heart of a child." And so I'd like each of you to take a crayon today. It doesn't matter which one. Just pick a crayon. Oops. You going to get a crayon, Matthew? Just one crayon. Oh, you got two. Okay. Here you go. Pick a crayon. So I'm having each of you pick a crayon because you are all unique and you are all loved by God. No matter what color you are, if you're broken or if you're sharpened, Jesus wants a relationship with each of you. And I want you to keep your crayon so you remember that Jesus wants a relationship with you. And if you'd like, you can get more crayons and coloring sheets, which are in the back. I don't know if you all know those coloring sheets. But I want you to, you do? Okay, good. But I want you to remember your crayon reminds you that Jesus wants a relationship with you no matter who you are. So, will you pray with me? Yeah, all right, great. Loving God, we thank you for the reminder to let the children come to you. The reminder that each of us, whatever age we are children of God and loved by you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you can go sit back with whoever brought you. And I'm wondering, Lisa, will you put this in the back in case children want more crayons? Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. If you would like your prayer read as a part of our worship today, please fill out this purple slip on the bottom, top, somewhere in there, and our ushers will be coming down the aisle. They're starting already to collect them, and we'll read them as a part of worship. So as we do this, let's settle our hearts and our minds in the attitude of prayer.
Let us join together now in a time of prayer where we will have some moments to pray silently with our own selves, and then I will offer a short spoken prayer, and then we will share the Lord's Prayer together in whatever language, in whatever way helps you to feel comfortable and most connected to God. So let us pray. Creator God, we come together in a time of prayer to ask, to listen, wait, wonder. And we know through our faith that you do know what is going on with us. We know that you know the little things that we speak and don't speak, but we also appreciate prayer time as it helps us connect with you, God, and we are grateful for that. We pray this morning, of course, for those who are in the midst of storms, and we have this beautiful blue sky this morning. How can it be that these two things are happening? But how can it be in the winter that we might be in the midst of a snowstorm and other people are out playing? And so even though we're not experiencing it this day, we're pausing to think about people who are threatened by water, who may be made homeless or frightened or disoriented by the storm. We think of those who are, oh, so very weary from cleaning up nature's devastation, the mess, the dirt, the rebuilding, the picking up the pieces. And we have to take a moment and think about our role in the world, God, and how we can live and care for the gifts that we have been given. We pray for those today dealing with the hurricanes and storms. We also pray for those who have been named, those who immigrate, those who migrate. We pray for families and friends, for birthdays, for health issues, for travel issues, for people experiencing grief. We pray for Nick as he heads off to basic training. And with joy this morning, we offer prayers for Martha, who has served this church so well with graciousness and knowledge and intuitive understanding of when something needed to be tweaked a little bit or stressed a little bit, whose gifts blessed us all these many years. We are grateful that we don't have to say goodbye, and we are grateful that we have had this wonderful time together. We pray this morning, God, for grace to walk with you this hour, this day, this week. We pray again for those who are weary, overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, and we also offer a heartfelt collective prayer that we have been given a simple message of how to live with others, and that we gather the strength and ability to follow that message. Together, God, we now pray the prayer to you that we have been taught by Jesus. Mother, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Carol? Vito?
When I first met Martha Sutter, she was a graduate student at Syracuse University's School of Music, an alto soloist for our church choir here at University Church. This was about 1982, and Tom and I had just started coming to the church. I immediately joined the choir, and before long, I had the very good fortune to sit next to Martha and enjoy the full benefit of her rich mezzo voice. About 10 years later, Martha moved from soloist to director of the choir, and I've been dreading the arrival of this day, Martha's last Sunday as our music director, ever since. Martha is that rare person who excels both as an incredibly gifted musician in her own right and in her capacity to get the most out of a bunch of folks of all ages and experience levels who love nothing more than to sing and to worship God through music. As anybody who has ever sung in one can tell you, church choirs can be an interesting challenge. We have our quirks and our opinions on this week's anthem, the opening hymn, and whether we should clap on 1 and 3 or 2 and 4. We're a very outspoken bunch, and we ask a lot of questions, like why do the women always get to start first in the John Rutter anthems? Or, I know it's Lent, but can't we do something a little more upbeat? We've all expressed our opinions at one time or another, some of us like myself on a regular basis. We also can be a very goofy bunch, but I won't name names. What happens in the choir loft stays in the choir loft. Like any volunteer choir, we can sometimes be unpredictable. Will we have any tenors today? Just 3 sopranos, 1 alto? Okay, we'll make it work. For more than 2 decades, Martha has handled it all with patience, great humor, and amazing grace. She has rolled with 4 pastoral changes, a wide range of musical tastes, and the inevitable ebbs and flows of choir membership. Perhaps most importantly, no matter how much time and effort we would put into our special Lenten or Advent programs, she always made sure, as we like to say in the choir, she always made sure that we didn't peak too soon. If I speak a little lightheartedly about choir, it's only because Martha has made it so much fun to be a part of. But I think I speak for the entire group when I say, with deep sincerity, that Martha has been an absolute blessing to me, to the choir, and to the church. She's challenged us musically, she's inspired us, and no matter how daunting the music, she's always believed in us, which in turn made us believe in ourselves. She has enriched worship, and she has deepened the spiritual experience, especially for folks like myself who find our clearest path to God through music. Martha's a gem, and she will not easily be replaced. And the only reason I'm not in tears up here is because she said she plans to remain a member of the church and at some point hopes to rejoin the choir when the time is right. So maybe we'll have a chance to sit side by side in the alto section again before too long. Martha, thank you for making church choir such a joy. You're an incredible musician, director, and friend. And I know I speak for the entire choir when I say, it's been an honor and a pleasure to be a part of your music ministry here at University Church.
Thank can't hold this book and speak at the same time. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. I know a little, probably well, not thought about often, idea that came across my mind is there's a great tradition of choral music that is centuries long and is still evolving. Witness the John Rutter music today. The fact that you could convert and come Sunday, a Duke Ellington, a great jazz composer and musician, can write a glorious piece of choral music. And, you know, how does this keep alive in the United States today or in the world today? And it's by places like this performing these great pieces as we worship together. And Martha, you've done a great job of being a keeper of the faith and allowing us to, as amateurs, some are actually very good musicians. I'm not one of them. But I will tell you that as a great pretender, thank you. Some of the work of Marg McDivitt and her daughter, Jane, they're on live streaming today, so hello, Marg. And the Cotens and Tom Bowl, they put together a little book here that you can't have because it's still being worked on by us. But you can step up here and take a look at some of the things. There's some wonderful photographs. There's Nathan, who's come from afar, who's up here today. Thank you. Who said he had to be here. And I understood completely what he had to say. And then there's some written words from some people, and that's still growing. All of these things are continuing. Don't get too upset with some of these photographs. Okay. But we'll complete it and then give it to you later. Now something you can keep is this for you. And Barb, do you have something else other than that, or is that it?
So my goal for today is to get through this without crying. So far, so good. But I want to say thank you to all of you. Certainly, the saying, time flies when you're having fun, applies here because it hardly seems like it's been 25, let alone 35 years. So it's really been a lot of fun. But this music program was a really good one before I came here, long before I came here, and I'm sure it will continue long after today. And that's thanks to all of you here in the congregation and the musicians who've always been in the choir and at the keyboard. It's not just one person. It's everybody, and you've supported it. If you haven't been a performer, you've supported it with your gifts and your comments, and all of that is just greatly, greatly appreciated. I know my goal coming in here as the music director was to always enhance the service with the music. It's not about being the best performer or about me or about anyone individually. It's about the whole, and I feel confident that I have achieved that, but with the help of everyone here, and so I really appreciate that. I thank you very much. I'm not going to have to stop for now. I have a few more words probably to share later. I guess I get to talk a little bit downstairs, so we'll save some for that. But it's been a pleasure. I will miss being upstairs until I get to return. I would like to hold on to my keys a little longer if I could, just because I still have some work to do in the choral library. It's not quite tidy enough for the next person. But I'll be here. And I thank you so much for everything.
Let us join together now, and you can stand if you are able and if you would like to sing Be Thou My Vision, which is one of Martha's favorites. Mm-hmm.
Please be seated. Our scripture this morning is selected verses from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew as translated in the Common English Bible. And I ask you to please join me as we experience this scripture responsively. The kingdom of God is like 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 Jesus said all these things to the crowds in parables, and he spoke them to them only in parables. This was to fulfill what the prophet spoke, "I'll speak in parables. I'll declare what has been hidden since the beginning of the world." This is the word of and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I've been thinking about this all week, and this is ad-libbing off of this script, that the kingdom of God is like music. And all week I could only think about how the kingdom of God has been enhanced with Martha's music ministry here at UUMC. So we are grateful. Thank you, Martha. So this morning we are going to ask the question, why did Jesus teach in parables, and what can he teach us through the parables in our sixth stained glass window? But first, let's touch on the word and concept, kingdom, K-I-N-D-O-M. We've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's somewhat new, so I thought I'd briefly talk about it. Kingdom comes from the idea that we are all children of God. The word kin means family relative, yes. Therefore, kingdom, in simplistic terms, means God's family. Today, let's explore the parables through this lens. First, I'd like to tell you a story I heard about just yesterday. I saw a video on Facebook in which a man named Jeff told his story of childhood. His parents had left him, he grew up in foster care, and he made it his job to see how long it would take him to upset his foster parents and get kicked out and go into another foster home, and then do it all over again. I think he said his record was 7 days. When he was 14, he was put into a foster home, and then Jeff thought he'd be moving on quickly, but to his surprise, this family did not give up on him. This 14-year-old did everything he possibly could to upset the new foster parents, but they just kept on loving him. After 3 years, the young man decided to take a lot of risks, and he ended up in jail. His foster dad went and picked him up, and when they got home, the two parents sat down with Jeff, and they had a talk. And this is what they said to him. "You know, Jeff, we don't see you as a problem. We see you as an opportunity." And this statement changed Jeff's life. We briefly skimmed over the parables in our scripture reading today. So let's try today to go home and reread
Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 52, because all of the parables that we referenced here are in there, and you get to see the full parable, the full story that Jesus tells. And if you don't have a Bible, let me know, and I'll send you home with one today. I've said the word parable several times, so what is a parable? Well, the NRSV says a parable is a brief comparison story drawn from nature or everyday life that tease the imagination, challenge accepted values, or illustrate a point. And the Webster-Merriman Dictionary says a parable is usually a short story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. Well, why did Jesus teach in parables? One scholar says Jesus teaches in the style associated with the wisdom literature, which requires one to look beyond the surface. The kingdom of God is not something we can describe or know directly, but requires deeper understanding. The Gospel of Mark only has a few parables, and then Matthew adds on to that, and then Luke has by far the most parables in the New Testament. And this once again confirms that Matthew and Luke had both Mark and the Q source as resources or references as they wrote their scripture. In our reading today, Jesus shares stories or parables to give us a clue as to what the kingdom of God is like. Let's look at what the kingdom of God is like as told through our sixth stained glass window. We all stray from God sometimes. We all somehow sin or separate ourselves from God. And the kingdom of God is like experiencing the forgiveness of the prodigal son's father with arms wide open when we come back home to our God. The kingdom of God is like tearing down walls of hate and showing compassion like the Good Samaritan who went against tradition to help a man of a different culture. Which today means first realizing that all people are our neighbors and then taking action to love our neighbors as ourselves. It seems like hurricanes bring people together. I pray we can continue this unity beyond hurricanes and beyond natural disasters. And our scripture on our center stained glass window is from Luke chapter 18, verse 16, saying, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" One scholar wrote, "The qualities of openness, low status, and no claim to achievements characterize the little child. The kingdom of God is like knowing or experiencing the unending love of our God, no matter who we are, what we've done, or where we come from. It's just up to us to accept God's love." It is interesting that the creators of this stained glass window in 1921 thought it should be the center of the image. It tells a lot about the congregation of the time and the legacy that lives on today. Jesus is clear that children are welcomed, beloved, and models of key virtues in God's kingdom. Children love until they learn to guard their hearts. Children have few preconceptions. Perhaps God's kingdom is like a child that has something to do with that. The kingdom of God is like all of these things: unending forgiveness, compassion for all people, and unconditional love. It makes perfect sense that Jesus would teach us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Why did Jesus teach in parables? Maybe so that even someone like
you and I would be able to learn from the master teacher these lessons so that we may offer forgiveness, compassion, and share God's love with all of God's family, all of God's children, just like the foster parents that changed Jeff's life that I spoke of earlier. And so may we continue to learn, pray, and take action so that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
As I have done several times this morning already, I'd like to do it again and say welcome. Welcome to University United Methodist Church, and we're awfully glad to have you with us this morning. You will find in your program, and I do not have a sample to show you right now. Oh, thank you. The attendance slip. New, old, in between. If you could just fill in this and put it in the offering plate, it's just a way for us to kind of know your name, and we appreciate that. If you are a first-time visitor this morning, we don't expect you to contribute to the offering plate. You are our guest, and we simply want to say thank you for being here. However, we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University United Methodist Church, and so as a symbol of our ministry in this place, but not just limited to these walls, to beyond as well, let us now bring our tithes, donations, and offerings, and attendance sheets. remain standing and let us join together in the unison prayer of dedication. All together, we will try to be holy and useful. We share with you from your generous sharing with us. We will strive to repair the world given to us to hand on. Let us lift each other on our shoulders and carry each other along. Let us see the light in others and honor that light. Let holiness move in us. Praise the light that shines before us, through us, after us. Amen. And please remain standing and join with me in singing "Shall We Gather at the River?" This is number 723 in the pew hymnal. It also is displayed on the screen. If you are using the hymnal, we will not be singing verse 2.
My brothers and sisters, look for Jesus. Seek him as a treasure in this great wide world. Seek him in the eyes of your loved ones and in the eyes of strangers. May your heart burn within you as the Lord draws you close this week. Amen.